Hi, this is Dave, and you're listening to the English Meeting Discussion Podcast.
Number 10.
Stimulating dialogue.
Controversial issues.
A global perspective.
Thanks for listening. This podcast is brought to you by me, Dave Skonda, and EnglishMeeting.com. Okay, welcome to another edition of the English Meeting Podcast. Welcome, everybody. Yay! Good to see you here. Looks like we have a good group today. We have a few regulars from the show. We have Armand over here. Hello, Armand. How are you today? You're looking
thank you, Dave.
Looking very astute and sophisticated today.
Yeah, much better.
Much better?
Better, yeah.
Okay, that's good. It's good to have you here.
I'll try better this time.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, this is, just the idea is just speak, as much as you can and try. And if there's anything wrong in terms of pronunciation, don't worry about that.
Okay.
And I'll always help you out. And if you have a question about a word or how to pronounce a word, just let me know and I'll help you out. Okay, and then we have Katrin over here. Hello, Katrin.
Hi, David. How are you?
I'm very good. It's nice to have you here. We've missed having you around, and we're lost without you.
No.
So what are we going to do without Katrin?
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Keep the microphone to your mouth here.
Okay.
So did you have a good break?
Yeah, it was nice, but I was sick all the time.
You were sick all the time. Well, that's no fun. Next time when we have a break, don't get sick.
Sure.
Okay, okay, and then we have Esther over here. Hello, Esther.
Hi, how are you, everybody?
Well, I think we're all doing good. It's great to have you here.
Thank you.
Yeah, so how's everything at the Ream family?
Thank you for asking. My husband is doing very well at his hospital, and my two sons get good grades in their college, so I'm so happy.
Oh, that's great. Do your sons want to be doctors as well?
Yes, they want to.
They want to. Oh, good. I'm sure they will be.
Thank you.
Yeah. And then we have a new guest here, Yohei.
Hello.
Hey, Yohei. Where are you from? What country
I'm
are you from?
I'm from Japan.
From Japan. Yeah. Ah, I see. Is this your first time here?
Yes.
It is. Okay. Yes. All right. Well, it's great to have you here, and we look forward to having your Japanese perspective. So we have perspectives from Japan, Korea, Iran. Oh, two from Iran today. And America.
Why?
Oh, where did... So Esther's asking. She didn't know Yohei was Japanese. What did you think he was?
I thought you are Philippine.
Ah, Filipino. Okay.
Why
did you think he was Filipino?
Your skin color is a little bit dark.
Oh, his skin color. Yeah. Well, I think Japanese, like many countries, they have lighter skin and darker skin. Plus, Yohei, you're always at the beach, right?
Yeah.
You're always like surfing, getting suntan, that sort of thing. Yeah.
My neighbor.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, his name's Yohei. Do you recognize the name Yohei as being Japanese?
So I thought he's never Asian.
Well, plus, Yohei is pretty good. He's really like, he gets in, he goes for things. He takes a lot of, he's more outspoken than a lot of Japanese, meaning like you ask a lot of questions, like during your speeches, you go for it, you don't get real shy or anything like that. You have a lot of good qualities.
Thank
about
you.
Yeah,
you're good. I'm trying to be like that.
Yeah. Oh, it's good. No, I see it. Don't you notice that with him?
Yeah, I did.
I noticed. Absolutely. Okay, anyway, let's get into our topic. Today we're talking about fuel, fossil fuel, and specifically gas prices. And gas prices, I don't know about the other countries so much, but I do know in America, gasoline prices have gone up considerably. Now, especially where we're at right now in the week, the price across the country has gone over $3 a gallon. Now, traditionally, fuel prices have been a lot lower from the like $1.25, $1.35. That was kind of where it stayed at for a long time. Then it started to rise and get up into the $1.80s. breaking the $2 mark, which I thought was just crazy because it went up so fast. And now it's broken the $3 mark. And what we're going to look at today is, well, why is this happening? Why do we think it's happening? What can be done about this? Are we just going to sit back and say, oh, well, nothing I can do, and just keep paying these prices? You know, costs me like $40-something dollars to fill my tank. I have like a mid-sized car. I guess if I had a larger car, it would cost more.
Yeah.
But that also means if prices keep going up, then that means it'll cost me $60 to fill my tank. It usually, in the past, it cost me in the 20s,
yeah,
like the low 20s.
Car,
yeah, go ahead.
My car, thank God, I have a small car. It's a two-door Mitsubishi Mirage.
Uh-huh.
And like 3 years ago when I bought it, it was brand new. With $15, I could fill my tank.
Ah, that's $15. Nice. $15, you have
yeah.
a full tank.
But wow. Now it's $35 to... It depends.
Depends on where you go.
Where I go, it's $35 to $45.
To 45?
Yeah.
Really, for a Mirage?
Yeah, for a Mirage, which is a small car. And,
uh-huh.
And then I drive a lot. My job is kind of, I have to travel to different places. So I'm using that car.
You don't
stop.
Have a choice.
I don't have a choice. There,
okay, so this is a great place to start. So you have a job. You have
yeah.
to drive to your job. You're a student in college.
Exactly.
You have lots of responsibilities. And when the prices go up, you don't have the choice to say, I'm not going to drive my car until prices go down.
Every week I spend like $80. The minimum $80 for my gas. Actually, my job is
you spend $80 a week.
Yeah, every $80. They do
wow.
pay for my mileage, but it's not the gas. They don't pay for that.
Well, if they pay for your mileage, it's supposed to be usually when they say they're paying for your mileage, it's supposed to cover
gas.
Plus, you know, some expenses in terms
some
of
some expenses. Yeah, but besides, so, it's not just only for work. I'm using that.
Yeah,
car,
right.
You know,
so you get a little from your work, but you're still paying a lot.
A lot.
Now, has it affected you? Has it made you take notice and say, "I don't like this"?
Exactly. I was like, in my for my job, I requested to go to the places which is closer to my house. And I don't know if they gone. Yeah, because it's not worth it.
Right.
Like in one day, I'm driving from Glendale to Sherman Oaks, and then from Sherman Oaks to Thousand Oaks.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't want to go to Thousand Oaks.
Right.
Yeah, because it's really. And
even
then
though it's part of your job.
Yeah, it's part of. But I really because and traffic is so hard. So I'm
right.
using more gas. If you know.
Yeah, you're
and
sitting
then,
in traffic. You're barely moving. You're burning
exactly.
fuel. You can barely. You can like watch the dollars just you know going
yeah,
down.
Then,
they might as well have dollar signs. You know.
So it's kind of funny. Every day I have to
dollar
go to the
there.
Gas station. Cool. Every day, and then. But again,
okay.
thank God I have a smaller car. I don't know. We should do something about it.
Well, yeah. I mean, this when you're talking about this, it reminds me a number of months ago. Maybe it was almost a year ago when prices were getting high and getting into this high $2 range, $3 range. Think about truck drivers.
Oh, my God.
That's their job to drive truck. They have to fill their tank. And I don't know if any of you saw this on the news, but a group of truck drivers were so angry about this because basically when gas prices double, that means their profit is being lost because they fill up their tanks themselves. It's not like some angel from the sky fills up those big trucks. And that's how they make their money. So that means their wages go way down when gas prices go up. And these people got so angry, and my opinion is rightfully so, but they got so angry that they wanted to make some noise about it. And what I mean by that is they wanted governments, they wanted politicians, they wanted the people to notice, hey, this is a big problem. We have to do something about it. So what they did was they got together with about four or five trucks, mm-hmm. and they went on a busy freeway, and they blocked the freeway with their trucks. And they turned their trucks sideways.
Mm-hmm.
They blocked the freeway completely, and they walked away with the keys. With the keys. And you can imagine, this is Los Angeles. If you're listening to this podcast from other countries, in Los Angeles, we have serious traffic problems. I mean,
exactly.
we have so much congestion, right?
Yeah.
Wherever you go in Los Angeles, if I say, hey, I'm going to meet Esther for lunch, I have to say, well, okay, I'm going to be there at 3, but depending on traffic, you know, because if I get stuck, if it's heavier than usual, an accident, I may be late. And that's part of living in Los Angeles. Yeah. So that's what they did. They were so angry about it. Now, you're frustrated with your job and with your life.
Yeah, exactly.
And, you know, if you have a budget, meaning you're not independently rich and you, you have an unlimited supply of money, this is coming out of your life and is making your life more difficult. Maybe you'll switch jobs.
I'm thinking about
it. Yeah, you're thinking about it. Well, what kind of inconveniences have you felt, Yohei, about it so far with these prices?
Actually, I've not cared about the gas price.
Let's hear this.
Why?
Because I bought my car like 1 year ago.
Okay.
So the gas price is always over $3.
Yeah, I used to. Okay. So you were used to it. Now, is this the first car you've owned?
Yeah.
Okay, well, you have, this is interesting because this is the first time you've had a car in your life, and you're starting your driving experience with gas prices at the $3 mark. So to you, that was normal.
Yeah, for me, but my friends complain about it.
Your friends complain?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I couldn't understand why.
Yeah, okay. I see. Now, compared to fuel prices in Japan, do you know how they compare?
I think it's still cheaper than Japan.
Yeah. Now, Japan sells it by the liter, right? Mm-hmm. So, do you remember what? Do you remember like about how much gas is selling by the liter?
I don't remember.
So you never paid attention to it in Japan, right?
Because I didn't have a car in Japan.
Yeah, right. So you wouldn't. Don't you wouldn't pay attention. Well. Mm-hmm. You know, you got to find this stuff out. What about Esther?
Do you pay for the gas for your by yourself?
Yeah, sure.
Oh, really? So, where do you work?
Where
do you make your money?
From my parents. Yeah.
Ah, that's what she was asking about.
You know, it is the same as my son. They don't care about the gas price because I pay for them.
Exactly. I mean,
I see what you mean.
See, remember Esther, last podcast I asked if you would adopt me. See, this is another reason why I want you to adopt me. So I could just go, Esther, can you give me my gas card? Yeah, right, exactly. Oh, the gas prices doesn't bother me. Well, who pays for your gas? Oh, my parents.
No. You know, so recently my sons called me when they are driving, and I asked him, why always you drive? Then they answered, you know, nobody want to drive their car. Why? Because of the gas price. Then why do you drive for them?
Yeah, right. Well,
but you know,
I have a feeling the answer is because my parents pay for the gas.
But you know, I can't say that. Please do not drive. You have to be generous to your friend, and you have to be nice of your friend.
Esther, how you pay them? Weekly or monthly? How you manage it?
How do you work out? Because we're thinking of being adopted by you. So we'd like to know how financially this works out. Is it weekly, monthly, yearly?
I gave them credit card.
Oh my God, that's nice.
Is it a gold card or a platinum card?
Unlimited credit card.
Unlimited.
And they have their own ATM debit card. So I always check out it on internet banking and fill out the consumption.
That's nice of you.
And how hard would it be for us to sign up with this plan with you? Is that difficult?
At first, I think I need to make some requirement.
We don't like the sound of that. Okay, so how about Armand? Like in terms of transportation? Now you mentioned earlier that you used to drive.
Because my car is like a Plymouth Voyager.
An minivan. Older car?
Yeah, it's a 92 minivan.
Okay.
And it consumes lots of gas.
Oh, it gets bad gas mileage. Yeah. Is it like an 8-cylinder engine?
Yeah.
So an 8-cylinder engine, and, you know, and American cars are known for being big. especially during the SUV craze, which we're kind of coming out of right now. SUVs are sports utility vehicles, and they're big, heavy trucks that have big gas tanks, and they can get like 8 miles to the gallon. Now, maybe your car got maybe 12 miles to the gallon, maybe something like this.
I guess it's higher, but...
Maybe higher.
Yeah. And for that reason, like in the mornings, we all like gather up, all students in my household, my brother and sister.
Right.
We come to college, and for going back, my brother like takes bus, but I sometimes hike to home.
Sometimes you walk?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like about 3 miles. Something.
For about 3 miles.
Yeah.
I mean, it's actually, like, if we look at, it's, you know, in terms of exercise, one problem that we've gotten into as a city in Los Angeles is we drive everywhere, whereas in other countries or other cities in America, people walk more. You know, like, you live in New York City, people are walking all around, you know.
Right.
They'll walk a few blocks. In America, in Los Angeles, if we have to go a few blocks, we usually get in our car. Now, when you say 3 miles, well, that's not short, but it's good exercise.
Yeah.
That's for sure. And
it keeps me, like...
20 minutes?
Like 45 minutes.
45 minutes.
Yeah.
So, you know, they say, you know, like a minimum exercise people should do every day is, like, walk rigorously for 30 minutes or more to get your heart rate up. Is that true, Esther?
Yes, it is very good. So for myself, I come here every day by walking.
Oh, that's nice.
Oh, you do? How long does it take you, Esther?
Come here, it takes 35 minutes. Go back, 45 minutes.
Why? Go back is
longer
than...
I started to walk to school, too.
You started to walk to school?
Yeah, because...
I'm taking the bus.
Why?
Because two weeks ago, I crashed my car.
Oh, you got in a car accident. Oh, no. Were you speeding on the freeway?
No.
Were you racing other people down the Verdugo?
I ran through the red light.
You went through a red light?
Yeah.
Oh, man. So, did anyone get hurt?
Nobody.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that's good. Yeah. We're glad that you're healthy and you didn't get hurt or anything like that.
But it takes like 1 hour to get here.
Well, you don't want to take the bus?
How many miles it walks?
I don't know.
You don't know the miles, but it takes you an hour to walk here. I mean, that's good exercise.
Yeah.
Do you like the exercise?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. I think it's good. You know, also something like, you know, it's maybe a good pace for our mind. We can kind of clear our minds when we do this sort of thing.
Make your mind sharper.
Make your mind sharper, meditate
your
on things. There's many things, you know, you can do during that time. Listen to relaxing music. Listen to a podcast during that time. We get in our cars and there's a lot of stress, you know, on the freeway. Oh, he's cutting in front of me. I get aggravated. Maybe I'm listening to the news on the radio and it's all this negative news. Oh, you know, 50 more people were killed in the war and this happened and that happened. It can be a lot of negativity and causing a lot of stress. I think the walking can be a great thing.
Yeah. I got 1 hour to think about something else.
That's right.
Yeah, about school, about life.
Yeah.
I'm enjoying it.
Oh, good. Well, I'm glad to hear that. I mean, you can philosophize about life and ponder things. Okay, well, let's look at this fuel price going up. Why do you think it's going up? You have any ideas about this?
War in Iraq.
The war in Iraq?
Yeah. The fuel that burned by insurgents, they targeted their own pipelines.
Yeah, that's definitely, we've heard that, you know, a number of times that pipelines or refineries or other types of oil apparatuses in Iraq have been blown up.
By the insurgents. By U.S.
Not by U.S. No. Yeah. We're trying to make the oil. The U.S., I shouldn't say we, but
to
the U.S.
it.
Is trying to get the oil flowing out of there. Mm-hmm. Actually, the U.S. wants the Iraqis to make money, you know, so that they can build their country up and things like this. So it's the insurgents. And I have heard reports that the production level before the war compared to now is down. So we're producing less out of Iraq. What else? Other ideas?
Yeah, and nowadays the economic development of China and India goes very high, so they demand so many energy.
Well, there you go. The demand is increasing.
Yes.
And the demand is increasing. Looking at two countries, China for one. We were talking about China
in an
earlier podcast about how China is just growing. Mm-hmm. And as this country is developing at this rapid pace, you know, there's more cars being sold in China. They're using more fuel. They're using more fuel. And India as well. So there's more demand. So do you think it's this idea of supply and demand? There's more demand, and the supply is either the same or less than it was?
But the need goes up, but the production is still flat or go downward because Americans doesn't want to spend our own energy. We want to keep, American want to keep our own oil, like in the Alaska or in Texas. We didn't produce
well. We do produce oil out of Texas. We don't produce oil out of Alaska. The Alaska issue is a different issue. Are you familiar with the Alaska issue, everybody?
It's about the environment.
Yeah, it's an environmental issue. So we know that there is oil that exists under Alaska. We're not sure exactly how much, but we know it exists, and it's a political debate in America. Some Americans want to drill. They say, and even George Bush, the president, has said, hey, I want to drill in Alaska, but you guys won't let me. You know, I'm getting too many of the politicians are saying no. What do you think we should drill in Alaska? What's your feeling about that?
There is another way to keep the environment, protect the environment,
okay,
and drill the oil.
But how do you protect the environment? That's the question.
I'm not sure about that.
Oh, are you saying you don't know another way? I thought you were saying there is another way to protect the environment.
Maybe there is another way.
Oh, but you don't know what that is.
Exactly yet.
Well, the thing is, I mean, the experts who know how oil is being produced and not only how to drill it out of the ground, but you got to move the oil. And the whole process, the whole infrastructure for dealing with taking oil out of the ground and moving it, you know, affects the environment. I mean, nobody's, if there is a way to take it out, nobody's come up with it yet. I mean, somebody may say, hey, it's not going to hurt the environment that much, but that's more of a matter of opinion. There are many environmentalists. There are many environmentalists who say that, hey, it's going to kill animals. It's going to destroy. It's going to destroy vegetation. All this sort of thing.
Of course, I'm environmentalist. I want to protect our environment,
uh-huh.
And maybe my information is wrong because I heard a lot. Americans doesn't want to spend their own oil. They want to take the oils from other country.
Well, that sounds more like a theory. I've heard some rhetoric about this theory. The problem with that theory is that the oil that exists, like in the Arab countries, geologists and those who study this issue in terms of how much oil is actually there, like how long will it last, they predict that it's anywhere from like 150 to 250 years of supply at our current rate of demand. So, you know, if we're trying to drain other countries of their oil, it's going to take a long time. You know, we're not going to see the result of that in our lifetime. So, in my opinion, it's not a very strong theory. We have oil in America. Like, we drill in Texas. We have offshore oil drilling. But it's not that much. I mean, if we had tons of oil to come up like they do in, like, Iran and, like, these other countries. Like, Kuwait has tons of oil,
yeah.
Right? A little country, lots of oil. You know, they're so rich there. We would be. Are you kidding? I mean, in American capitalist country, you know, they would be using it unless the president said you can't touch it. It's the issue in Alaska that comes up because we're saying, hey, we have oil there, but we're not touching it. Why not touch it? Well, then it's the environmental issue, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. And I want to protect the Alaska's environment. Uh-huh. I went there one time, and uh-huh. the scenery was so beautiful, and I don't want to mess up the beautiful environment.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And the another problem that caused the oil price goes high mm-hmm. is because of the Katrina
hurricane
or Katrina. Rita effect.
Okay.
Destroy the oil refinery system.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is it correct?
Right. Well, yeah, it did.
Yeah,
I mean, it destroyed, I don't know, destroyed, it definitely impacted the refineries, meaning specifically that, you know, they had to shut down for a while and do repairs and do this sort of thing. Some people are looking at that as an excuse, and some people are saying it's a real deal. The thing is, if that is true, then it should spike, the price should go up for a short amount of time, and then it should go back into balance. And we're not necessarily seeing that, you know. And right now, this is actually quite long after Katrina. The spike would have happened earlier. And actually, you know, in terms of barrels and cost, you know, people start bidding on this stuff very early. So the ripple effect is pretty quick, mm-hmm. you know. Like the Iran issue. There's a political issue in terms of Iran with building nuclear power sources, and people are already reacting to that on the stock market in terms of oil as a commodity, and are saying, "Oh, if we don't let Iran sell the oil, then the price is going to go up higher." So you know that's affecting as well. I don't know what the thing that I'm seeing. That I'm concerned about is the oil companies are making record profits. And that isn't very comfortable with me. They're making record profits. These companies are making billions. I'm not saying millions. Billions, which is incomprehensible to most people to think in terms of billions.
Yeah, this morning I read LA Times, and uh-huh. they show ExxonMobil Corporation make money $1 billion per day for the last 6 months in 2005.
$1 billion per day since when?
Since last July.
Since last July. So
oh my God,
almost a year. Now think about that, $1 billion. Now, it doesn't take a rocket scientist mm-hmm. to figure out that they're making record profits in the realm of $1 billion a day, which they never made before, and the price we pay at the pump is also very high.
It is.
You know, and it's the people, it's us. You know, we're paying for that. So I don't know, what do you think? Do you think there's a correlation there?
I don't know. We should do something about it because we can't just sit here and see the prices goes up and up and up
uh-huh.
and nothing changes. I'm sure we have to concern this issue as one of the most important issues and start go for
so
it.
So why isn't anybody complaining about it? That's
because
that's where I'm sitting.
It's a busy life. Like me, they have to use the cars.
Okay.
So no matter
so people
how
are
much
busy in America.
They're busy with their own lives, and then they don't have a time to stop going to the work and stop going to the school and just sit home and, you know, worrying
or
about the gas.
Walk out on the streets and protest.
They don't do that
like
that much. And then, unfortunately, that's why they're taking advantages, and we see the prices goes up and up and up. And when the prices goes up for a dollar, we don't complain. But when it's 5 cents less than yesterday, we are all happy. Oh,
yeah,
you
know
what I'm saying?
I know, exactly. Like it goes down a little, we get happy, but
happy,
it's a false sense of happiness because the price was so inflated already.
And then, I don't know, I think we should do something about it. like Americans should do something, because other countries, they do have the oils, or they don't use that much cars. They have public transportations, or they use bicycles, they walk. I've seen a lot of countries, the bicycle is the main thing for transportation. Yeah. But here, unfortunately, especially in LA, cars, everybody drives.
Yeah,
I mean,
the landscape is a little difficult in Los Angeles because we have a lot of hills.
I know.
Like the college where we're at today is positioned on a hill. But that doesn't mean we can't do it. So let's kind of, this is a good segue into, well, what should we do about it? What are the answers to this? What I see are oil companies making lots of money. I'm sure they're buying, you know, beautiful cars with the name like Mercedes or Rolls Royce on them. And I'm sure their houses, these executives, have huge mansions. And I'm sure their jewelry has names on it like Rolex and things like this. So, you know, they're not going to be the ones to go out on the street and say, we need to change this. Somebody else does. Or maybe we need to change our focus in terms of energy. So what can we do about this?
Actually, even if we change the form of energy, it's going to be again skyrising the prices of the oil, because it's not only price of the oil, it's price of everything, because if you believe it or not, the military exercises that US does daily, in Nevada, they test many bombs, atomic bombs.
Gotta be careful when you say atomic bombs. You know, they may or may not be doing that. If they were doing it, the world community would react in a big way, because right now, the world community is against doing any nuclear testing.
Yeah, but they're doing it under the ground.
If they are doing it, it's secret. They're not announcing it. You know, it's not a fact that can be proven.
But other kind of military exercises that they do, like flying jets every time.
Sure, all the military preparation. Yeah. They burn lots of fuel.
Yeah, like the B-2 Spirit bomber, every time that it goes around the world and comes back to the base, it's going to be like $2 billion worth to repair the rubber that is...
You mean to do maintenance
on
it?
...coated on...
That seems like a high figure. I'm not sure about the figure, but I'm sure it costs a lot.
Yeah, $2 billion, exactly.
You know the space shuttle? You're familiar with the space shuttle?
Yeah.
Do you know what form of energy launches that big thing into space?
Rocket fuels or
solar?
Nitrogen.
What's that?
Nitrogen, hydrogen, or something.
Nitrogen or hydrogen? Do you have any idea?
Combination of those.
It's hydrogen.
Yeah.
It's hydrogen. It's not like a gasoline fuel like we use for our cars. You know when you see it blast off and you see all that smoke coming out?
Yeah.
Do you know what that is?
That's the hydrogen burning.
Well, it's steam. It's steam. It's water.
Water.
All of that smoke does not pollute the air at all. It's not like a fossil fuel that, is bad for the environment, you know, makes us get cancer and die and all this sort of thing. So, this is an alternative form of energy, and that's what car companies are researching and trying to build. We don't really have any on the commercial market yet, but they're supposed to come, is hydrogen fuel cell engines. And what comes out of the exhaust pipe is is H2O, it's water. And they did a test, I saw this documentary, they did a test and they put a cup, like a little cup, at the exhaust pipe of this car that ran on hydrogen fuel cells. And there was condensation that came out, kind of dripped down, you know, and he filled the glass. The guy who was showing this car that the company was working on, you know, had a quarter of a cup of liquid in there, and he drank it. And he says, this is very clean water that I just drank. And he didn't throw up afterwards. Mm-hmm. It was water. And the point he was trying to make is, look, we have all these cars on the road. They create fossil fuels. They pollute the world. Other countries have so much power over us because we depend on this oil.
Yeah,
America as a country is the number one consumer of oil, of gasoline in the world. And look what we can do. So should we be developing these alternative forms? Because okay,
I think we should support them. Like yeah. if they can make a car which mm-hmm. works with water or electrical right. car, we should support them. I don't see why they don't. I'm sure there is something behind that they don't want to
yeah.
Support that, yeah. but it mm-hmm. would be great for America to do
and
that.
Why do you think they don't in the past? Because we've had electric cars here. We've had electric cars, for instance, in California. And maybe in other countries or in other parts of America, around 10 years ago or even sooner, if you go to like some of these big stores, these big box stores like Costco, do you know Costco or maybe a Walmart? But if you've gone to some of these places, you might have seen some parking spaces that are green. And they have a little green sign. It says for electric vehicles only. And they have little plugs coming out of them. And those were made for electric cars, right?
Yeah. I saw that in Alaska.
In Alaska?
Yeah. Alaska okay. has lots of electric cars.
Oh, do they? Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah. At first I saw it. Oh, it was very funny. Because, you know, if you don't have any fuel, just plug in. And
That's
then
right.
you can feel the energy.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah, very clean and, yeah.
Much cleaner than a gasoline engine. So, anyway, you'll still see these parking places in Los Angeles because they don't know what to do with them now. You know, a lot of companies have just left them there. But they were built because we had a mandate passed by, these were laws passed in California saying by a certain date, we had to have a certain percentage of cars in California be electric only. This was a law passed in California. And then you know what happened? Because we don't have any electric cars now. We had a few electric cars. We had, I think, a GM produced an electric car called the EV1. Did you know what that is? Have any of you seen it? It's kind of a futuristic-looking car where it's normal size in the front, and then it gets real small in the back. And I think it has three wheels, two in the front, and one in the back. So it's a small, light car. I think it was only a two-seater, but it was completely electric. Toyota had an electric car, the RAV4, which was a small SUV. And these cars are not available anymore. So do you know what happened?
Maybe the oil company, they stopped making?
Well, I think that's a pretty astute remark there. Why do you think?
Because... what are they going to do then if they don't sell their oil, you know?
In my opinion, I think she hit the nail on the head. Because, look, I mean, although, okay, the majority of the oil that we use in this country, we import, right, and this, you know, goes through OPEC, but it comes from, you know, these Middle Eastern countries.
Exactly.
And Iran being the country you guys are from. Look, it's not only the people in those countries that are making money on this. There are big American companies
exactly, they
who get the oil over, and then we refine the oil. And this has been big business in America for a long time. So let's picture all of us right now. You're not who you are. You're new people. I'm going to wave a magic wand, and we're all executives at this company called Big Oil America. Now, we all work for Big Oil America. And let's see, Armand, his paycheck last year was $1.5 million. Okay, Katrine, you made, there's still a little bias towards women. You made $1.2 million.
Oh, good.
Okay.
I wish.
Esther here, well, she's been in the business longer than us, so she makes $2 million a year. And since I make... let's say I'm newer to the business. Let's say I make $900,000. Okay. Are we happy with our paychecks?
Of course.
Are we comfortable? Our house is nice?
Of course.
Yeah, everybody is happy.
I drive a Hummer. You know what a Hummer is?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know that big car? I like it. It's fun. It's like a big toy. You know how much? Oh, I get 8 miles to the gallon. But I work for Big Oil America. Do I care how much gas cost?
Of course not.
Of course not.
Yeah, of course.
Sometimes I light my cigars with dollar bills. Because
And we get more powerful and powerful every day.
Well, actually, all of our paychecks every year goes up.
Every goes up.
So, we're not really motivated to do anything about this energy thing, are we?
No,
and we like having our vacations, don't we? We like
of
we
course.
Go travel around the world. We have very fancy meals, and it tastes good to have this really expensive dinner at this restaurant. It's comfortable. I like it. Once you have that, is it easy to go back to being middle class?
Of course not.
No.
I think we're going to fight anything we can so we don't have to go back to being middle class if we came from a middle class lifestyle. And you know, it's kind of a thing about human nature. But what we got to look at is the big picture. And those people aren't going to do anything. So we can't expect the oil companies to say, you know what? There's other forms of energy. Why don't we change our business plan from importing and refining oil to solar energy? Let's change it. How many of the executives on our board would want to change?
None.
None. It's risky. We may lose everything. We don't know how it's going to work. There are you know, solar plants being built in Arizona where they have these big mirrors out, and they're starting to do things like this, and the cost is so much less than to produce our traditional energy. Traditional energy, electric energy, comes from coal, you know. So, you know, what? How are we going to change?
I don't think the company's going to do something.
No?
So it's the people.
Who's got to make the companies
people.
Do something? The people.
People,
the people
leave.
Have to.
Yeah.
So how do the people do it?
How we should stop buying cars. I mean, we should stop buying big cars.
Yeah, that sounds good. We
you
should
know,
stop buying the big cars that get the bad gas mileage.
Yeah. Using the public transportation, I guess we should ask.
Public transportation?
Mm-hmm.
Use bicycles?
Yeah.
Use
but
bicycles?
If just one person, you know, when we were talking of people, it has to be a huge amount.
I know. That's
it's not
that's the
20,
difficulty.
20 or 30 people, they won't do anything. They won't do any changes.
So how do people get noticed in
I think
countries?
In the TV, radio.
Ah, there you go. Very
movies,
go to the media.
Exactly.
Go to the media.
Media.
I mean, you've got to get it on TV. If it happens on TV, it's
everybody
real.
Everybody
knows, right? So, like we're seeing in America, there's a lot of issues right now for illegal immigration. Why shouldn't there be an issue for the gas prices
exactly.
we're paying? At the beginning of the podcast, I brought up these truck drivers. That's what they do for a living. That's how they support their family. They have kids, you know, and they have to pay their kids' expenses. They have to help them go to school. They have to feed their kids, put clothes on them. And if these gas prices go up, they don't have that money. What are they going to do? Just work for, you know, just barely getting by?
Exactly. That's what's happening now.
That's what's happening.
Because my father has a small trucking company. He has, like, five trucks.
Oh, really? Well, there you go.
Yeah, but then... the drivers, they just, some of them, they get hourly or some, if they do own a truck, they just basically, they pay them for each load to drop off and,
right.
you know, load. But lately, they have a problem with this prices, gasoline prices, because they want, from the companies, they expect to pay them for the gasoline. If they want to take your load,
exactly.
they are expecting you to pay for the gasoline, which is impossible. I mean, it is possible if you are a very huge trucking company.
But but your profits are going to go down.
Exactly.
And no
so
one wants
it's
that
a,
to
it's
happen.
A big problem right now.
Right.
And then some people, they just... I know, like, from my what my father told, a lot of people are thinking about changing their job. So imagine that's the most this trucking job. The people who transportation is one of the most important jobs in every country, I think. So just imagine if it stops. You know, who's gonna bring stuff for stores like Walmart, Ralph's.
Yeah.
If the truck drivers are not happy, so they are quitting or they're selling the trucks or they want to change their job, who's gonna
do
that?
Who's gonna do it?
So the country needs to improve something else. They're gonna let's say I don't know how they're gonna handle that situation, but
Well, it's going to affect the economy, and it could cause inflation, and it could put a lot of people out of work. I mean, you know, and that affects the economy, which is not good for any country. Yeah, Esther?
Oh, I totally agree with Katrin. And when you pay for the oil, you don't pay just only the price. You pay the tax. It's a hidden tax. So why we as a people, common people, have to pay a lot? You know, the rich people has to pay their tax more and more. But nowadays, the government policy, Bush's policy especially, they want to reduce the richest tax go down. Right. So I think it is unfair. The rich has to pay more tax, and the poor, yeah.
Okay.
As common people, we have to live comfortable to pay small tax only. But, you know, pay for the expensive oil, we also pay hidden taxes. It's a lot.
Well, this opens up issues that get quite complicated, because the arguments supporting, you know, not taxing the rich as much go into areas like, if the rich companies or individuals who own businesses aren't taxed much, they're able to create more jobs. The middle class is able to have those jobs, and it spurs the economy. I'm not saying I personally agree with that, but these are the arguments that come out of this. That if you tax the rich more, that they will not expand their businesses. And if they don't expand their businesses, then the economy will go down. So it gets very complicated. It gets complicated. But it seems like, you know, if she's rich and I'm middle class or poor, it seems like she should pay a little more than I do in terms of a logical argument. Did you have something?
There are ways to, like, prevent gas prices, like to make the companies surrender themselves to the government to become under government.
You mean by regulated by the government?
Yeah, regulated. Right. Or government takes order of them, buying them. But then I don't think that government would have that kind of money to buy those companies.
Well, that's an interesting point you bring up, because government regulation, we've had different forms of government regulation in America, and in my lifetime, I've seen a lot of government regulation go away, and it went away in the spirit of capitalism, saying less government, smaller government, let capitalism decide the market. So, like, the government used to regulate the airline industry in America, and would regulate prices and all of this and try to balance things out. And, you know, there was a lot of protest and saying, look, this is my company, let capitalism dictate. So now we don't have that regulation. It gets complicated, because if the government did get involved, it doesn't mean that we wouldn't have any problems, that there would be problems. There are things. You know, there are many things that the government can do proactively. From my vantage point, I see the government should, maybe a smart move would be to develop other forms of energy and just say, look, let's just get out of the oil business. Yeah.
I guess another thing that government doesn't want to take order of the oil industry or companies is because then people will have one specific target, the government. They can protest against it.
Who's they?
The people. American
public. Like American people?
Yeah, American public. But if it's different companies owning those facilities, producing oil, people cannot go after one and each oil
makes it harder to go out. Yeah. Oh, I see what you're saying. So, like, if the government regulated the whole oil industry in America, people could protest and direct their attention straight at the government or the president.
It would be one.
It'd be one.
It'd
Whereas
be easier for people.
We have many. We have many.
That's why American people cannot do anything.
Well, I think that's a valid point. That it's harder to protest when you have all these different companies. You know.
It would be like I can protest against you alone, then like you have all your families around you, like your children.
Yeah,
and
even if you stop me, there's all the family members all around me that are still going to be in business.
Majority is going to be in the minority.
Right, right. So, okay, so to wrap this up, if you had the power to control things, what might you do to change our situation with these rising fuel prices?
The best choice is like monorails. And
build monorails, like electric power monorails.
Yeah.
Better public transportation.
Yeah, like Chicago.
Yeah, like Chicago, New York has great subway system. Mm-hmm. It's easy to get around. Okay, so public transportation, build a strong infrastructure. Sounds good. What about you, Katrin? What do you think?
I think the main thing is media. They need to start
speaking out
so everybody will concern. Everybody will know, want to do something. It's like they're all the time talking about the war in Iraq or immigration, illegal immigration.
Right, these issues.
So people there, they started speak out. I've noticed it in a lot of books coming out, a lot of programs, a lot of spokesmen. But this issue has to bring out too.
We live in a country that has free speech.
Yeah.
And a lot of people aren't using it. You know, they could go out and they could speak and they can say, hey, we don't like this. And we don't see so many people doing
and
that.
And then if we do that, then everything will be automatically, will be changed. The government will think about making subways.
Absolutely.
Or
you know, power of the people.
The first thing I think is the power of people.
Yeah.
If
people can get organized, you cannot stop a group of people. I mean, you look what Gandhi did. I mean, you know, the power of all those people getting together. It's an unstoppable force. Yeah, Esther, so what do you think the answer might be?
Yeah, I agree with Katrin's idea too. We can speak out. We need to speak out on media. But, you know, unfortunately, there was a poll searched about people's opinion that is this energy crisis or not? And the percentage answered by yes is only 12%. That's why they
12% answered what?
Yes, this is energy crisis.
Oh, interesting.
So, yeah, it's very unfortunate.
12?
Yeah, it's only 12%. So that's why still the media is calm.
I know. We need to raise that percentage.
I mean, what would
82%.
Yeah, it should be in the 80s, 90s, right? People, I think, you know, that statistic reflects the complacency, you know, and that people don't see it as urgent. There was a time in the 70s, Jimmy Carter was president, where we had an oil embargo, and we didn't have as much fuel, and everyone had to go to get gas. We had odd even days. So if your license plate ended in an odd number, you could only get gas on this day. If it ended in an even number, you could go on this other day. And there were long lines to get gas. Okay. And, you know, I was a little kid. No, I should say I wasn't even born then. But the idea was, look, people were saying, look, we need to find an alternative energy source. And we got through that embargo period, and then we got more fuel here, and then people went back to their big cars. And it was because people didn't speak out and do anything. They just, fuel wasn't that much money, make life easier, get back into it. And now look where we are, you know, and countries have power over us. So,
and I have SUV, so, you know, these days I regret a lot. Why should I buy the SUV? I need smaller car.
How much can I ask? How much does it cost to fill up your SUV?
Nowadays it's 45.
That's not too bad for an SUV.
It was $30 when I first buy that one, so the cost goes up almost 50%.
Yeah. Yeah, there you go. So, you know, I mean, it just seems like it needs to be spoken about.
Yeah.
And people need to get a little more proactive and do it because the power is in the people, and I see the reports of record profits being posted by these companies.
Yeah, and also there is some limitation that we can use that oils that we can use. So it is not unlimited energy. So we need to develop the alternative energy like ethanol,
it's not unlimited.
Yeah, hydrogen.
Well, plus, I mean, we didn't even get into the issue that the gas effect that it has on the Earth is it's, you know, there are many implications about global warming, about the ozone layer.
Yeah.
And even if we had an unlimited supply of oil, if we keep burning this fuel, the radiation will come to Earth and will, you know, give people diseases and we won't live very long. And it could be the beginning of the end of humanity. So, you know, we have a lot of innovation. Solar power. We talked earlier about hydrogen, you know. Seems like we need to get with the program and start developing this. And, you know, maybe we can, through this podcast, maybe,
yeah.
And maybe in our
know.
Own lives, in our own circles, we can try to get people a little active about this and speak out.
We can be a part of it.
Yeah. It's enjoy the freedom of speech in America and use it to your advantage. You know, that's what I think about it.
Yeah, that's right. I think I agree with you.
Yeah.
If... I'm every person like David would do something little like this, it would be great to me.
Okay.
They could listen to the conversation that the opinion, different opinions that people have, and they'll do something
right.
for it.
Right. And we don't hear talk like this that much on the news. We don't hear people sitting around talking about this issue. They may go up to somebody at a gas station with a microphone and say,
exactly.
Hey, I see you're filling up your truck. How do you feel about these prices? And then the person of course is going to say, well, I don't like it. It's a lot of money, but I have to do it, you know?
Actually, if you remember, there was a very active guy by the name of Bogoslavsky. We do not see him anymore.
Who is this?
Bogoslavsky.
Yeah, I don't know the name.
He was like reporter. He was always a noisy guy.
Noisy reporter.
Yeah.
Okay, and was asking
people. Stalking the companies, private companies. But
okay.
All of a sudden, his voice is like gone. Nobody mentions anything about him.
Well, we need some people to make some noise. We need more noise to be made, and that's where we'll leave it today. On the English Meeting Discussion Podcast. I thank you all for coming. It was great having you here.
Thank you.
So thanks for giving your opinion. Very interesting topic and something that you know we're talking about in context of America, but you know, fuel prices around the world are going up. So it's not an American issue. It's a world issue. And using fossil fuel and using oil affects all countries politically and socially. So it's definitely an important one, and you know, let's do something about it. Let's make something happen. So, thank you all for coming today. Yay! This is Dave Skonda, and this is the English Meeting Discussion Podcast. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you next time. Bye bye. Well, that about wraps it up for another edition of the English Meeting Discussion Podcast. I'm Dave Skonda, and I appreciate you listening. If you'd like to post a comment, please go to www.englishmeeting.com. Follow the links to the podcast page and post some comments. You don't have to register. You can log on as anonymous or other, and you can quickly post a short comment. Would love to hear from you. Well, that wraps it up for me, and had a great time. Hope you did too, and we'll see you at the next English Meeting Podcast.